Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, before we begin this service, we want to announce that there's one collection is for the school and this evening, and that also for the members who do not receive the email, that there is opportunity to fill out the paper for the survey for the Church Times. Let us begin this evening worship service with the singing of Psalter 60, verse 1, 3, and 5. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. It is 1, 3, and 5 of 60.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the prophet Ezekiel, thereof the 37th chapter, and we will read the first 14 verses. Ezekiel 37, the first 14 verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. And said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
Let us now try to seek God's countenance and ask a blessing upon word and sacrament. Most holy, ever living, and faithful being, thou who gathers round about thy word in this evening hour, wherein it will be that we hear thy word, but also through one of the sacraments which thou hast instituted, we will see thy word. Then it is in an evening as this that again thou dost place dung around the trees of our lives, that again thou dost say to each one, here present or listening along, that thou art not seeking the death of the sinner. Oh, may it then also be that in this evening hour thou wouldst be pleased to dwell amongst us with thy Holy Spirit, because we can preach and we can baptize, but that's not enough, Lord. Oh, humble us then this evening before thy throne of grace, and make us what we truly are, that in this evening hour we won't stand round that baptism font as parents, that we won't see it as mere members of the congregation, and that we won't administer it as a minister, but by thy Spirit this evening give that we may stand, sit, or administer it as sinners of whom I am chief. Oh Lord, that is an impossibility from our side, because we sin, but we don't know against whom. We don't know what our sin really is, our blindness, our ignorance, yea, Lord, our death state, that we don't know how great our misery is. But in this evening thou makes it so simple in that sacrament. Water points to cleansing, and we don't cleanse something what is clean, but something which is unclean. So the first testimony, make it true tonight, Lord, that we are unclean. That's the work of thy Spirit. And last week Sunday we commemorated 3,000 in one day who were taught to be what they were. We are here with less than that. Oh, thou art not bound unto a time nor unto a place, but we all need it. Grant in this evening that it may be given in the hearts of young and old, in the hearts of baptized members or confessing members or visitors. Lord, may we ask thee for a blessing upon thy word and sacrament in such a way. And then remember those, Lord, who are not strangers to having been declared by thee as unclean, and who are not able to cleanse themselves anymore, who have to see also tonight that it is that fountain of foul transgression prevailing from day to day. Lord, may there be tonight in our midst poor, miserable, and undone sinners, but who are made rich through the poverty of another. And that water is pointing to the blood, and that is the blood of thee, O exalted mediator. Thou hast ascended, and tonight still sits with the pierced hands at the right hand of the Father. Lord, may it become tonight personal, that it is thee who has ascended, and who has poured out thy Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, and that for a church who is and remains unclean in themselves, and not an uncleanness that they can get used to or excuse, but an uncleanness that separates, and who are longing tonight for a word, and that faith to believe also for me. lower than it has been instituted, not for the strong in the faith, but the weak. Oh, remember them tonight, those bruised reeds and those smoking flaxes. Who can believe it for someone else but not themselves? Lord, may they receive tonight a token out of that sacrament or through the preached word that it is thy cause, and that they may receive tonight a little joy in the hope that thou wilt finish perfectly what thou for them hast undertaken. But, oh Lord, give not a rest in mere words, because that word of God, that is the only thing that won't pass away, and that is not the ink on paper, but that is the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Oh, grant then tonight, Lord, that there may be a remnant who may behold him, and who may be given tonight to embrace him with all his benefits. Then maybe there is one here tonight, condemned to death, but Lord, one look, one embrace of that person of the mediator by faith, and then they don't see their death, but then they may see him as their life. Thou art the only one who can change it. Wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, Lord, for thy covenant's sake? Oh, dwell amongst us tonight. May we commend the parents to thee. They have to give their answer yes. May they do that in dependency upon thee. And also, Lord, may they do it as ones who will need that sign and seal, that it may bring them on their knees before thee, and that they may also receive to instruct their precious child. And thou knowest if they have more children, but Lord, that they may receive tonight courage to instruct them, because it is tonight not in baptism and in their answer that thou expects them to convert their children, but that thou dost hold them to it, that thou art a God who uses the means. Oh, bless their homes, not as temples of materialism, but as sanctuaries of thee, the Most High God. Give unto these fathers to be priests in their homes, and also unto the mothers as praying mothers in Israel. Wilt thou grant also this evening thanksgiving in their hearts, that thanksgiving in the dust, that thou hast spared, that thou hast helped them in the hour when no one could, but thou didst humble them under that. Wilt thou remember grandparents, great-grandparents? Look upon them all in mercy. And look upon these three children, Lord. Use them as instruments in thy hand for the extension of thy kingdom. Then they first need to become converted. Oh, Lord, look upon those young children in thy condescending mercy. May we in this evening present them unto thee, and that out of them, Lord, thou wouldst be pleased to use them in thy kingdom. Wilt thou remember also in an evening as this, where there may also be pain in the hearts of parents who know what it is to have lost children also in the womb? Lord, remember them tonight. Remember the parents who have to look at this baptismal font, and they are reminded of their prodigal sons and daughters. Do wonders, Lord. Remember the couples who long to have children, but it has been withheld from them until now. Grant also unto them, if it is possible, that thou wouldst grant it yet to them. And remember those who have to go through life single. Thou also knowest that can be a cross in an evening as this. Lord, we lay so the needs before thee. Remember sick and afflicted in the hospital or at home, also that infant. Lord, we may hear that it is going well. Wilt thou remember those parents also? Thou hast gladdened them. May they end in thee. Wilt thou remember the needs of those who mourn? Fill those empty places with thyself. And thou knowest what they have to carry with them every day. But Lord, may they come, may they be given to come unto thee with it. Wilt thou remember the needs in the families? Oh, then also many parents amongst us tonight. Lord, may it be that it is also renewed tonight, that answer, yes, in the hour of the baptism of our children. Wilt thou remember the baptized seed? Oh, grant also there, Lord, true conversion. Remember the needs of those who have crosses and burdens. 'Tis known to thee. We ask thee that thou wouldst also help them and sanctify the ways. Because everything we receive, health or sickness, or sorrow, or also deep ways of cross-bearing, if it doesn't serve to our conversion, then all those things will yet have to testify against us. Oh, may we then ask thee that also in all those adversities, that it may yet be blessed by thee. Wilt thou also remember this flock thou hast gladdened them, where one of the brothers in the ministry was given to accept that call which they had sent to him. And we ask thee, bring him at the appointed time in their midst and use him as a mere instrument. Instruct him, Lord, that his study may also be a place where he has to close the books and where his pen has to go down and he has to go on his knees and say, I don't know it. And that on this pulpit he may encounter that thou didst know it. Lord, feed him with poverty, and then this congregation will receive to see the richness. Use him as an instrument for this flock, as in Ezekiel was given to see a valley of dry bones come to life by thy Spirit. Use him, Lord. Wilt thou give also in the midst of the congregation prayer for him and his wife and his family. Lord, remember the needs all known to thee. Help us tonight in bringing thy word. We stand before it. Thou knowest how. We ask thee, make it true tonight that thou hast sent us to this place tonight to labor in the word and to administer the sacrament. Lord, may we then show to thee our empty hands. But wilt thou grant yet tonight that in that valley that Spirit came, come so is also tonight, Lord. Under these means, remember thy sighing inheritance in their strife. Lord, grant them tonight a token that thou knowest of them. Convert what is unconverted. May it be tonight the last midweek service that they are unconverted. That tonight they go home different as they came. Do wonders, Lord. Remember the brothers in the consistory. Remember them in their office. Bless them. But also grant to them a blessing tonight. Lord, we lay it before thee. Help us, grant the Aarons and the Hurs. We beg it of thee in Jesus' name only. Amen. Congregation, we read now the four for the administration of baptism, which you can find in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism has come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I now ask the parents to arise, please. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is the answer of Father Koster? Mother Koster. Father van Wyk, Mother van Wyk, Father Scherpenzeel, Mother Scherpenzeel. Dear parents, it is this evening that you may present your child for baptism, and that is a memorable event that you stand here. But it is also an event which is going to come back to us when we have to give an account of our life. Tonight, you are saying yes to something that once is going to come back. And then, parents, is the Lord requiring tonight something from you that you cannot do? No. The Lord never requires something which we cannot do. But one thing is to be known. How How are we tonight giving this answer? Is there then also in your heart that there is already a knowledge of a God who you stand in account to? That has become real. That tonight you say, you mention that it is going to come back to me once. And you say, that's not strange to me. I know a moment, a time period in my life that became real. All parents, if that is true in your life, how do you stand here then? Not before the countenance of an unknown God, but of one who knows. And what is it as parents to present your child unto a God who you may know something of? Then you may soon stand by the water, which is pointing to his Son, the second person of the Godhead. And what is that for a people who have come to learn God as their judge? That is first of all the preaching, that the justice of God needs satisfaction. But there's also the preaching that he has found the satisfaction. Parents, now you understand this evening the necessity of my question. How will you soon hope to present your child for baptism? It is once going to come back to us. Do you have to say tonight, then I stand here unconverted? Then look at that water tonight. When you stand there also, if you have to say that God is still a stranger, and that water is pointing to the possibility also yet of your conversion and of the conversion of your child. And now you have said yes, but what have you said yes to? To a life in your inner chamber. You have said yes this evening to a life that needs to be bound to the throne of grace. That is a life in which we have to be made and kept beggars. Why? Because we can't convert our children. But that is now a beggar's plea. Lord, wilt thou do it? And then as parents you may present your child's baptism to the Lord and says, Lord, didst thou not say in the hour of their baptism that thou art Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Is it then not true anymore that thou art Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or you know, with the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace, the Lord is giving to helpless parents, but not hopeless parents. He is granting unto them to bring that sign and seal back to him. And to say, O Lord, the impossibility from our side. But what thou hast promised, wilt thou fulfill it? Parents, there is only one who can grant the application of that sacrament in your hearts and in the hearts of your children. And that is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I hope from the bottom of my heart that you all may know him, and that your children may come to know him also, and that that sacrament may then also be blessed by God in your life and in their life. And congregation, 'tis tonight not only that you hear his word. Children, are you listening? 'Tis not tonight that you just hear his word. You will also see his word tonight. That water is a visible gospel. What is the first thing it's telling you tonight in your church pew? That you are unclean. Because children, when father comes home from work and his hands are dirty, what's the first thing he does? He goes to the tap to clean his hands because his hands are dirty. Now here the infants are coming. The first thing that is happening is a confession that they are unclean. And tonight in the water, that is also a preaching to every one of you, that we are unclean. We have done something in paradise, congregation. We have left God. And since that we have become unclean, but that water is also pointing tonight that he has sent The Father sent, the Son came, and the Holy Ghost is the one who applies it. That water is pointing to the remedy, the cleansing blood of Jesus. Tonight it is also the preaching. That the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Then, Church of God, how did you come to church tonight? That when I addressed those parents, is that now in the life of God's people, that's not strange. Because when God begins, then you get to do with your judge, not your Savior, your judge. And then congregation. Then those people of the Lord, they begin to make supplications to their judge. Church of God, did you sigh to your judge today? Is the door closed tonight? Do you have to say, against thee only have I sinned? And it is tonight the sacrament of strengthening of faith. What? Where it once was opened through that gospel in Jesus Christ, that a door tonight is proclaimed again to the strengthening of faith is still open. And what once was open shall never be closed, that the Lord may then also grant in this evening through the sacrament of baptism the strengthening of the faith of his people. May the Lord so bless the sacrament amongst young and old, and also amongst his people. While the infants are brought in, we sing from 142, stanza 2. I am evil born in sin, thou desirest truth within, thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart, make me pure. Thy grace bestow, wash me whiter than the snow. The second stanza of 142, while the infants are brought in, and after the amen of baptism, I ask the congregation to arise and to sing 425, stanza 5. Ivan George, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. James Ellis, I baptize thee In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Levi Arden, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now close with the words of the prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee that Thou through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only Teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only, true God. Amen. Let us now sing together from Psalter 220. The stanzas 3-6. A place for Thy people, Thou Lord, didst prepare. Thy vine deeply rooted rewarded Thy care. Its branches like cedars, majestic and free, spread over the mountains from river to sea. 3-6 of 220, while in the meantime your offerings will be received. Thank you. My beloved, hear the text words for this evening. You can find in the portion of scripture that was read to you, Ezekiel 37. And there of the third verse is my text word this evening, Ezekiel 37. And there of the third verse, where God's word reads thus. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. So far my text words. Underneath it, by way of a theme, the instruction to parents in light of themselves before God with their posterity. The instruction to parents in light of themselves before God with their posterity. 3 points. First, the vision regarding Israel. My first point is the vision regarding Israel. Second, the question regarding their state. The question regarding their state. And third, the answer regarding God's sovereign decree. The answer regarding God's sovereign decree. So the instruction to parents in light of themselves before God with their posterity. My first point, the vision regarding Israel. My second point, the question regarding their state. And my third point, the answer regarding God's sovereign decree. May the Lord help us to explain these text words in your midst this evening, and that he may also grant a blessing amongst young and old here present or listening along between your cradle and your grave. The vision regarding Israel. Congregation, our text words come from the familiar portion of the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37. That vision of the valley of dry bones. And that was by the Lord to instruct. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So you see, congregation, Ezekiel is taken by the Lord. He carried me. So you see, this is also an instruction that Ezekiel did not ask for. But the Lord is coming unto his servant to grant an instruction about Israel. And then the Lord does not take him to a restored temple. He doesn't take him to the courts of heaven. But he brings him into a valley of death and destruction. Congregation, the Lord always instructs honestly. Shall you do it to parents? With your children? Do you instruct them honestly? Ezekiel is being brought to the place to make clear something has happened. Because this is a scene which is not unfamiliar in the Old Testament. This is the scene of a former battlefield. Because you know how that went in those days, that was fighting man to man with swords and with spears and bow and arrows. And when those armies would meet one another, often in valleys, then that was death and destruction. And that's the place where the Lord is carrying Ezekiel to. See, congregation, Ezekiel would have not gone there himself, but the Lord brings there. Vision regarding Israel. Now you also know that Israel is a privileged nation. They were chosen by the Lord. That was the nation when the Lord called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and we heard it again tonight from Genesis 17, that the Lord granted that covenant between him and his seed, and that covenant which is in Christ Jesus as covenant head, not Abraham. And now so you see, congregation, that nation has received from the Lord the privilege of covenant benefits. And in those covenant benefits, the Lord was instructing. But now that nation of Israel has disobeyed, because this battlefield, that is the consequences of their disobedience with the Lord. My dear unconverted hearer, do you hear tonight the consequences of sin? You will not have the last word in your life. God will. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the valley of dry bones, that God is not mocked. He is not an idle onlooker. He beheld Israel. Instead of going to the tabernacle and later the temple, they went to the groves. They went to the high places. They worshiped the idols. And that is rebellion. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the Lord came with his justice. Ezekiel 37 is a picture of it. And there were very many. There were very dry. There's no life there, congregation. Vision regarding Israel. They are in captivity. They are in Babylon. And that's the two tribes. The 10 tribes have been scattered. But this is, especially when you also read in verse 11, Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Ezekiel 37 is a vision in light of what Israel was and is become because of their rebellion, and what they will be because of God's restoration. So it is a vision of that Israel, very many, very dry. Those people, they knew better, but they departed from that way, and they have become very many, very dry bones. It is a battlefield. Vision, congregation. It is a picture of you and me. How do you picture yourself tonight, sitting in God's house? Well, I, my bones are covered. Flesh, skin over top of it. Clothing, I'm breathing. Yeah, congregation, this is the vision of a reality which is real spiritually. So therefore, I have to go to my second point. The question regarding their state. So that first point, hey, it is a vision of regarding Israel. They have sinned, departed from the Lord. And now they are there, not as ones who are honoring God. That captivity, congregation, they were placed at a distance from the Lord. The Lord had to deal with them with their sin. And that's why, what is their state? It's the state of separation. Congregation, we can sit here, stand here. We may breathe the breath of fresh air, oxygen in and out, and yet be a dry bone on the battlefield of our rebellion against God. Children, do you hear that? It's the picture of your state also. Did we not point this evening to the water, that the first thing it's pointing to is our state of uncleanness? So Ezekiel 37 is pointing to your and my state by nature, that it isn't right. It is in a state of rebellion. It is in a state of a threefold death, and it is of the Lord's long suffering that he bears yet with us if we are unconverted. That's only because of God's long suffering. So what is it necessary this evening that you are carried into the midst of this valley to behold there laying on the ground, scattered on that battlefield of rebellion against God, your bones, which were made right and according to his image, but where you have left him with no intention to return? And congregation, this is Israel. I said they had the covenant benefits. What was that here this evening? Baptism. That is the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace. I'm not preaching in downtown Toronto tonight, but in the midst of the congregation, who also in an outward way through the baptism is brought upon the property of the covenant of grace. Not in, on. So you see, congregation, that it is this evening a preaching of that valley of dry bones, but that Israel, as if to say that is also a picture of you and of me. And that rebellion, congregation, that is now Ezekiel's task to bring that to the people. As a message for your new minister too. What is that? That you have rebelled against God. How often does he have to preach that? Every Sunday. Every visit in the home. He has to address you. Say, you're a rebel. You have done something in paradise. Me too, or? We have all left him. I have to preach that to you. Ah, congregation, preaching is actually so simple. Teaching your children is actually so simple. We have to deal honestly. And Ezekiel is carried into the honesty of the relationship between God and his Israel. That there has come, because of their rebellion, that distance. But their second point, a question. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Notice, he doesn't say prophet or converted Ezekiel. No, Son of man. What kind of a title is that? That is the title that brings him on the same level of bones that lay scattered on the battlefield of rebellion. Son of man, that is terminology to humble. Why? Weakness. Son of man can't handle anything. Son of man is pointing to the dependence. Was tonight also asked you the questions, parents, as Son of Man. In your human weakness, the questions have been asked, but also answered. And now here, Ezekiel, as that Son of Man, is receiving that question. So in the first place, to humble, but secondly, also to encourage. Says Ezekiel, I'm coming to you with a question, but I know who you are. I know that you are weak. I know that you can't convert what is unconverted. You see then also, on the one hand, to humble, but on the other hand, to encourage his servant who is brought into the midst of death. He's lonely there. No one is living. It's all death.
is all death. Oh, congregation, that is now Ezekiel's place. And as parents, the theme, the instruction to parents in light of themselves before God with their posterity. Parents, do you know it already? That you are a son, or may I say it is tonight, a daughter of man. Has God humbled you before him? In knowing who and what you are, what your origin is. If the Lord comes in the life of the true conversion, then you receive a humble place before him. And the reminders. He said unto me, son of man. Oh, how is it, parents, grandparents, in the midst of your family? Do you also sit amongst your children and that you have to say, unconverted? Ezekiel standing in the midst of a valley of dry bones. What is our family life, congregation? Is that in the reality of our state with God? Or are you trying to build a little paradise here below? As if to say Ezekiel is brought into the reality. And parents, what is it necessary that we are also brought into the reality? That who can bring forth a clean out of an unclean? So Ezekiel is standing in the midst of a valley where there is no life. Do you also, parents, sometimes have to leave your bed at night for the conversion of your children? And that you have to present them honestly to the Lord as unconverted because that I have brought them into the world? That is now here, Ezekiel, as a prophet, he is standing amongst the dead. It would be something, eh? If your new minister, instead of going to Cortland here on the pulpit, goes to the cemetery of Cortland and stands there. But that's actually what he does every Sunday when he comes. Then he will come to stand upon the cemetery of the rebellion against God. And now there Ezekiel receives the question. He receives dealings with the souls that have been entrusted to his care. And so, parents, what is it necessary to receive the dealings with the souls of your children? Son of man, can these bones live? The question regarding their state. It is a question. He has received a clear view. Because listen, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. He's not standing on the top of the hill and is looking down in the valley. Ezekiel is brought into it. Ezekiel, go is here. Now go is there. Look is over there. Do you see it? Very many. Very, very dry. And now this man receives the question. Who has come to the conclusion. It is all death. It is all separation. Can these bones live? Oh, congregation, what a question it is unto a son of man to be asked about the eternal destiny of souls. Because that's about their life. Not just their life here below, all parents. Your child shall come through this life. But it is about their eternal destination. Can these bones live? That's the question. And the marginal notes are clear. Ezekiel, is there now a natural remedy, a means or a power by which these bones can live. As if to say the marginal notes are pointing to the interaction that Ezekiel receives with the Lord about these bones. Is there a possibility, Ezekiel, that these bones can live? So, and that in my second point, the question regarding the state. You know what the Lord is doing? He is bringing home what that rebellion is. And in the part of true conversion congregation, then the Lord is going to bring home what our rebellion against Him is. In the part of the true conversion, the threefold death becomes a fair punishment. That becomes a just judgment. And then it is not so much the fear anymore that I have to die. But then it becomes the just punishment that my sins have separated between God and my soul. And that so I have to receive dealings about my separation. And in the midst of that separation, Son of Man, can these bones live? So you see here the question that is asked, Ezekiel, is there a power with you? Is there a means with you that is now able to grant life in the midst of this valley of death and in this valley of rebellion? And so, congregation, the dealings which Ezekiel receives about their state, the question regarding that state, can these bones live? Oh, may it then also be that there may be dealings in light of our rebellion against God. Dealings, parents, with that separation. You know what that is? Then a father or a mother has to speak to his or her children and has to speak concerning that separation. Then that begins to weigh on your heart. Then a mother sees her children coming off the school bus at the end of the day or going to school and then has to see them as separated from God and from His communion. And now so there the interaction, so there the question comes. Son of Man, can these bones live? Oh, that is now also such a privilege yet. When in the midst of all this rebellion, which this valley is so clearly portraying, that the Lord is asking this question, because He knows the state. He knows that there is now no means from Ezekiel's side to grant life unto those very dry and very many bones. And as now also this evening in the baptism, the Lord knows, parents, that you can't convert your children. And that is now also asked as if to say this evening in the baptism, when you stood there tonight or when you have stood there at earlier times, when you presented that child unto the Lord in the baptism, that as if to say the question came to you, Son of Man, can these bones, which are very dry, which are in the valley of the battlefield of rebellion against me, can these bones live? And now in light of that question, what is the Lord wanting to get out of Ezekiel? An honest answer. The Lord in the true conversion is always going to make honest, but is always going to make also dependent. And therefore that question is asked. And I answered to something. Interaction with the Lord. Oh, how many times, people of the Lord, do you have to lay your prayers before Him? How many times do you have to cite Him? How many times do you have to seek in your prayer to lay the petitions before Him? And now this evening, you know what the testimony is. That the Lord is granting those interactions. The greatest longing a child of God has is interactions with the Lord. And now here, especially also Ezekiel, in light of the people he has been sent to. Or in light of my theme this evening, parents in light of themselves before God with their posterity. Work at the throne of grace. God has asked, and Ezekiel is given an answer. Because the Lord has asked him about his means. The Lord has asked him about his power. And the Lord is also, as it made known clearly in this vision, the Lord has shown to him who those bones are. That is the whole house of Israel. And then congregation, this evening in the hour of baptism and in the baptism of all our children, you know what the greatest problem is we have nowadays? That not that we overestimate our baptism. That's an error. But do you know what also is an error? To underestimate our baptism. Because what was it tonight? What did you hear our Father say in the prayer of thanksgiving? We thank thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. How? Objectively. Not subjectively. Objectively. That did not happen when they were baptized. But our fathers, by faith, as if to say, are calling in thanksgiving upon the name of the Lord. And here in this answer, my third point, the answer regarding God's sovereign decree, that it is also with Ezekiel exactly a answer in faith. And our fathers are thanking God in the prayer of thanksgiving by faith. You don't have to be scared that that prayer is too free willer. You don't have to be scared that that prayer is overestimating your baptism. That prayer is coming to the core of the baptism. That prayer is coming to the nature of the baptism and a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. And now here in Ezekiel 37. The dealings which the Lord has with Ezekiel in light of the whole house of Israel, that is a people that God has accepted for himself. Like no other nation in the world, till today, the international court has arrest warrants out for the leaders of Israel, but they are playing with the might of God because it is a special nation. That is a nation congregation, the Lord is going to come back to them. And now in Ezekiel 37, do you see what is happening? That the Lord is giving faith unto Ezekiel in light of that covenant of grace. And parents, the baptism of your children, I said it in the address to the parents, that is to bind us to the throne of grace. Because God has said something. He has said over the forehead of our children, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he has signified and sealed in the water that he will build his church. And so it is in the sign and the seal of baptism, as if to say to receive an answer in light of God's sovereign decree. That's why, parents, what may you tell your children? That it's possible. Shall you always do that? Shall you not just tell them that they have sinned and that sin needs to be forgiven? But shall you always tell your children that it is also possible? Yeah, but here, Valley of Dry Bones. No life, my child, unconverted. O Lord God, thou knowest.
That is an answer, congregation, that's touching on the being of God. And how, eh? Remember that day. Because, yeah, you have that too. Yeah, you baptize, then you have to plead your baptism. Oh. Wait a minute. In light of the pleading, do you then know unto whom? Ezekiel may know unto whom. O Lord God, it's not a stranger to him. Now we ask that also, parents, tonight, in the hour of the baptism of your children. And I ask that to all the parents, all the grandparents, I ask that to the baptized seed of the congregation. Do you know something of Lord and God? Well, more. Oh, Lord God. That's the need. That's the dependence. All that is Ezekiel bringing before God's countenance. Lord, the Almighty One. Lord, the one who has authority. And notice how also here in your English Bible, this pulpit Bible has that the word Lord is lowercase and God is all uppercase. And whenever a title of the Lord is uppercase, that is usually pointing to the Jehovah. So two titles of the Lord used, but used by Ezekiel, not as a stranger. What did our fathers begin with tonight in the form for baptism? John 3, verse 3. Ye must needs be born again. What happens then? That's a work of God. Then, as it says that here, Lord, the one who has power, that becomes known. And God, that covenant Jehovah, that is the I am that I am, Lord. There in Babylon, here in this vision of Ezekiel 37, those are circumcised Hebrews. And they have a servant of God, Ezekiel by name, who is asked about if they can live. And he lays it before the Lord, not before an unknown God. O Lord God, thou knowest the answer regarding God's sovereign decree. Lord, there is something waiting yet. What is that? In captivity, who has not been born yet? Messiah. Anointed one, qualified to save. Lord, these bones, as if to say, thou knowest if for Christ's sake they can still live. Parents, take that home with you. And all those who may have baptized children, even if they are prodigal sons and daughters, I wish you wholeheartedly the interactions of the Lord, Son of Man, that God places you, humbles you, but also knows of who and what you are. Can these bones live? And that you may lay an answer before an almighty and a covenant faithful God for Christ's sake. What happens? The man receives work to do, prophesy. To what? Those bones. And to the wind, the Spirit, Pentecost. Ah, congregation, upon whose merits is that breath coming into those bones? Upon the merits of that blood that is pointed to in that water. So how is it pointed out in Ezekiel 37? That for Christ's sake, that whole valley begins to live.
'Tis a whole army that stands up to the honor of the Lord. Congregation on Pentecost, 3,000 souls. As on in the morning when they woke up on the battlefield of rebellion against God. But one minister, Peter by name, he preaches unto them the truth, pierced, pricked in their hearts, but also asking men and brethren, what must we do? And then the fruit, that 3,000 were converted, that sovereign decree. Oh, then I say it this way, parents, then you may present your bones. Do you have many children? Your many bones that are very dry unto the Lord. And then you may ask him for those interactions according to his sovereign decree. And that breath that is spoken of in Ezekiel 37, that is the breath of life, and that's still blowing on for Christ's sake. That is still blowing. Church of God, do you also have to encounter that it is dry? Even after received grace, do you say, oh, there was a time that there was life, vigorous life in my bones, but it seems to have waned away again. Are you hope to receive a ministry? Shall you pray much for that man? That he may stand before you as an Ezekiel in all honesty to preach to you what you have become on that battlefield of rebellion against God. Dry bones, very many. But that he may be anointed with fresh oil of that Spirit. And then bones shall live, first time by renewal. That Spirit remains necessary. And you know what it is especially about in Ezekiel 37? Then we go. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off of our parts. Did you have to mourn tonight on way to church because of how unconverted you are? Did you have to mourn tonight on way to church, Church of God, of how far off you are from your place? Your bones dried, our hope lost. We are cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. We go home. Church of God, what's the greatest wonder of those words I just read? Those who are saying, my bones are dried, my hope is lost. He says, oh, my people. Is that not a wonder? In your dryness, in your hopelessness, my people, taken for his account, because the Spirit goes forth for Christ's sake. Did you see that water, Church of God, tonight? That is the foundation that the Lord is giving to you life and maintaining your life. That is the blood of your justification. That is the blood of your sanctification. So that church can go on again in the Meshach here below until that they may enter in to adore. Thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. Parents, may the Lord bind you to the throne of grace. May the Lord give you the interactions, as the text words this evening, with the bones that can't live on their own accord and not on your accord, but can live on basis of the foundation of that covenant of grace. Amen. Lord, we close, we ask of thee for the application. Ezekiel was allowed to receive a message. And Lord, thou gave something tonight to hand out. We ask of thee. for the application. Remember this flock, a new minister coming. Give him much interactions about these things, and us with him. Oh Lord, it is so necessary to be brought as a son of man, humbled, but also, Lord, when thou dost then also show that thou knowest that they are but men too. Oh Lord, remember these children who have been baptized, together with all the other baptized children of this congregation or with us. Convert them, Lord. That is what Ezekiel was allowed to lay before thee. In that sovereign decree, thou wilt convert what is unconverted. Wilt thou remember when we leave this place, go with us. And wilt thou be the after preacher. Remember, in mercy, we ask it. For Jesus' sake only, amen. Our closing psalter is Psalter 290. One, four, and five. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. One, four, and five of 290.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.